Well, today on Rethink Real Estate, we've got Eric Loftholm. Now, Eric is a sales trainer and has been so for the last 25 years. We talk about individual things that he would do if he entered the real estate space. We talk about what he sees as the most common problems in the real estate community that come and approach him for independent coaching. We talk about a whole different other strategies when it comes to the sales side of the business. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed speaking with Eric a lot. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Eric, welcome to Rethink Real Estate.
Hey, I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. I think that one of the things that I really, really liked when reading your profile and looking into your background was the nature of how long you've been teaching people to, for probably lack of better terminology, and you probably put it better than I will, is teaching people how to sell. I think that there's this perception within the world that, you know, selling people on things is, you know, the shady salesman or the sleazy salesman or whatever it may be, when, you know, being a wordsmith and being somebody that can sort of architect a situation to help somebody, even though they might not know that they 100% need it, is that I think that it's a constant skill set that certainly our industry in the real estate space really need to grasp and really need to hone and refine. So we're excited to have you today. And now, that said, give us the elevator pitch on you. Why should someone hang around and listen to you?
Yeah, well, like you said, I've been teaching for the last 25 years and I also sell on a daily basis. So I'm in the trenches, working prospecting on social media, putting deals together. So if somebody wants to learn from somebody who's out selling in the marketplace now, that's exactly me.
Now, that's probably a good question for me to ask you in the first degree that sort of made me think is that there's a great deal of people in the real estate space that teach people on teach people real estate process and concepts, but they're so far disconnected from the front lines of real estate or the front lines of what they're teaching people to do. Do you see that from an industry perspective in the coaching world as a problem, or is it something that, you know, them taking a 1,000-foot view of many different opinions of many different other people sort of gives them a better perspective?
Yeah, well, you know, old school would be, you know, pound the phone. And nowadays, like when we set up our podcast here, we didn't speak on the phone. It was all done through electronic communication. So texting, direct message over social media. And so I was coaching a realtor the other day, and their coach was saying, you know, work the phones, and they're resistant to the phone. So no prospecting is being done. And I was like, look, you can prospect people with direct messages over Facebook. You can send a text, you can send an email. That's how I do most of my prospecting. So the things that I'm sharing are things that are relevant to today's marketplace. I'm constantly publishing content, which is for some real estate agents an out of the box idea to be a content creator. I thought I was a real estate agent. It's like, well, you know, there's some really top agents out there that are great content creators. I'm thinking of a gentleman out of Dallas, only been a realtor for a couple of years, but he's got the top YouTube channel for all realtors in Dallas, Texas, and he's crushing it. So we definitely want to be in tune with what's working in the marketplace today.
So let's talk about mindset that you need to have in order to sort of establish a business, because prospecting, when this episode will air, will be towards, you know, people have gone through and they've done their plans for 2024. You know, they've sort of certainly have had the hype effect of they've gone through and they've sort of executed for the first few weeks, but they've probably seen, just like a journey in fitness in the gym, you know, why gym memberships sell at the beginning of the year. So many of them do. And then people fall off towards, you know, the end of the second month. You know, what's the mindset somebody should have, or how do they adjust their mindset? What are the things they should be thinking about to stay consistent with their plans to keep moving forward in prospecting? Because I know that there's the common saying that, hey, you've got to do something that you love, but I think people take that way too literally, and they think that the prospecting element should be rainbows and butterflies the entire time going through it. When there's an element of grit, you've got to do things that you don't want to do in order to succeed in an industry that you want to succeed in sometimes. It can't be everything you like. So give us an understanding of mindset and how they strengthen that up.
Yeah, well, I'm going to answer that coming from a place of doing over 100,000 cold calls in my career. And when I started, I was like probably a lot of your listeners, a lot of fear and anxiety when I would prospect. Right. And I did it because it was my job. I had to feed my family, but I was literally dealing with fear and anxiety every single day. And after doing this over 100,000 times, it dawned on me the position that I was coming from that was causing the fear. Because if we look at why don't real estate agents do more prospecting? And the number one reason is fear. And so if we look at where's the fear coming from, it comes from I'm anticipating how the person's going to respond when I reach out, whether it's a phone call, a door knock, an email. I'm anticipating they're going to say no. So then I'm coming from that position and it creates fear. So what I figured out was instead of focusing on the other person, I'm going to focus 100% on my activity. So my declaration is when I prospect, I win, pat myself on the back. When I book the appointment, I double win. I win no matter what. So if I reach out to 10 people today, I got 10 wins. If I book two appointments, I got two double wins. So I got essentially 12 wins for the day, zero losses. But most people don't think like that. They think, you know, if I prospect, there's no win there. If they say no, it's a loss. Ugh, I got to absorb the loss. I'm just winning all day long. And I've taught this to many, many people, and it's helped them create a breakthrough in their prospecting. And this is something we might revisit on our call today is the position that we're coming from is what's going to drive how we're feeling. When we're in a listing presentation, you're going up against somebody who, in my community, there's this gentleman named Tom Daves, and he's like one of the all-time top real estate agents in the history of real estate. So if I know they're going to meet with Tom Daves tomorrow, I might go in there afraid, like, well, why are they going to list with little old me? Because Tom Daves is coming in tomorrow. And so that's a position to come from. Versus if I come from the position of why they should hire me and I'm the right person, I'm gonna bring a different energy. And so the position that we come from is a critical component to increasing sales results.
I love the position that we come from. I think that that's something that we constantly forget, and we get tied up in just the day-to-day hustle and bustle of what we're trying to do is more. The constant winning thing is actually something that, you know, definitely resonates with me. I think that I think the moment that you have an outbound dial is that there's an intentional win there. It's kind of like that, you know, runner's high after a run, so to speak, is that if you do a day of prospecting, you feel much less guilty that you should have been doing it or whatever the guilt that comes into play there. But if it's not so much let's say that it's not a mindset thing. I know that most of the time we're probably speaking to 90% of the audience when it is a mindset thing to just pick up the phone in the first place. If somebody is picking up the phone and they're actually making the phone calls, from a skill set perspective, okay, what is the best way for them to get better at a certain skill set? Is it just repeat and rinse and repeat, or is there more of a tactical look at this?
A couple different answers. One is in prospecting, it's all about the angle. So I'm going to reach out to this person. What's my angle for reaching out to them and having a good angle, number one? Number two would be modeling. Let me find the top real estate agents out there. What are they saying? I can model what it is that they're doing. And then one of my favorite things is the title of one of my books, which is Continuous Sales Improvement. I like to isolate skill sets. So if I was working on prospecting, I'd go on YouTube and I type in prospecting techniques. Every video I watch, I'm going to get a little bit better. Every podcast on prospecting, I'm going to get a little bit better. Every time I listen to a speaker on prospecting, I'm going to get a little bit better. And so if I go in and I work with intention on my prospecting, those are some very specific things that people can do to improve their skill set.
So let's talk about diminishing returns though. Like at what point do you start listening to too many people and too many opinions that you start to hyper overthink the process? You know, you're like it becomes this nature of that, well, what did he say? Or that was a good idea. Like I think there's probably 25 to 30% of realtors that I get to meet that I'm like, wow, you've thought about this more ways than anybody's really thought about it. Like, what is your recommendation from the perspective of absorbing material?
Well, I think what happens for some people is they're getting ready to get ready. Mm. And so I don't need any skill set to take action. I can go out today, let's say I went into a brand new industry and I'm going to go prospect for solar and I've never done solar before. I don't need to know anything to take action. If I take action, I'm going to get a little bit better. So that's one piece of it. And the second piece of it, I don't know if I could ever have too much knowledge. I would just advise people use your discernment. You know, take what you're learning and see, is there anything I can do to make what I already have better? And if that's not going to make me better, then flip side of it is a golf swing. We don't want to you know, tinker too many different ways with that golf swing, you know, change one thing at a time. But if we're using discernment, I think the bigger issue is they're in a learning loop. And, you know, our audience are learners, because if they're listening to the podcast, you know, they're like us. They love learning. But sometimes people that love learning, they confuse learning with action. You know, it's like learning is a form of action. It's learning. But, you know, we need to spend the majority of our day doing revenue producing activities. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, I got to reach out to 10 or more people a day to grow my real estate business. And if I consistently do that, I'm going to win. So I'm all about consistency, tortoise in the hare, slow and steady wins the race, and building relationships with people. And I want to tell you a quick story about my last realtor. So the house I'm in now, our loan fell apart. And he's like, why don't we do a lease option? And I'm like, the seller's never going to go for a lease option. He's like, well, there's no downside to trying. Okay, fine. So he puts the lease option. We get it accepted miraculously. 2 years later, the option's up. And we exercise the option. We buy the house. So that's the house that I'm in now. He hasn't contacted me since we closed a couple years ago. So it's like, how likely am I to reuse him or refer him when he actually did amazing? He did a lease option that was so creative. I mean, it was it wasn't just an easy deal buyer. My credit was super clean. This piece of cake, he made some money. He really, really earned his commission. But even though he did an amazing job, I value relationship. And I look at real estate very much as a relationship business. And so you don't want to be that real estate agent that doesn't stay in touch with your past clients and then your network. And it's very important. These are nurture touches. It's not just, are you looking to buy or sell a home? It's congratulations on my daughter getting into University of Arizona. Eric, you must be proud. That message would have motivated me to want to reuse him and refer him.
Right.
So nurture touches, staying in touch with people and having systems to stay in touch with people so you become their real estate solution for life.
Yeah, I think that's where you can fit within somebody's extended, you know, family, so to speak, if you are an added resource to them over time. But I guess that what do you think, like if we broke it down, because I think that the national survey came out around like 89% of people don't know the name of their realtor within 6 months of using them because they don't stay in touch. Is that why don't people, like, again, if you think about it, like it's like, for example, if you go to the least path of resistance in the real estate community, okay, is that let's say you get a listing, right? 90% of agents do not prospect around that listing, do not update the future sellers around that. They stay focused on the seller in the house. They stay focused on selling that property and getting the commission check. They don't look at the farming that can happen in the micro farming that can happen around that property in order to future-proof their business, the people that they meet, all of that thing, all of those things. That's a path of least resistance. Then you would like to think that if I sold you a home, is that is just an easy relationship to nurture over a period of time, or I represented you or whatever it may be. Why is it, if we broke it down, that people don't do that? Because I'm assuming we're not the only industry that doesn't follow up. You know, like, no. is there a mental, you know, is it a lack of process? Is it a mental thing? I'm not sure.
I would say they're not thinking of it like a business.
Right.
You know, if you look at it like a business, you're going to have a CRM. You're going to stay in touch with your sphere. You're going to do continuing education like you were talking about. And I would call what you're saying, even though it's simple, that would be a more advanced technique to, you know, farm around the listing, you know, and be strategic and do an open house for the general public, but do an open house for the neighborhood. Hey, we're doing a private open house just for, you know, strategies like that. It's a more advanced way of thinking. Being their real estate solution for life, you know, back to this idea of the position that we're coming from. If we're coming from a position of, I've planted my flag as a real estate agent, this is what I'm going to do for the next 20 years. I'm an industry leader. I do continuing education. I do best practices of what other successful real estate agents do. Well, that's a position to come from. When I launched my sales training company, I was 28 years old. And I'm like, I'm the Zig Ziglar of my generation. So I'm 53 now. So for 25 years, I've been coming from this position And I'm going to do this until literally my last breath. There's no retire and go play golf. Like, I'm going to go off into the sunset. If I die on a podcast, that would be like heaven for me, right? Like, this is what I'm going to do. And so it's a position to come from that's motivated me to want to hire the best coaches on the planet to ongoing continuing education. Well, anybody could do that. And when we take that long-term view, there's tremendous power in building a relationship today with somebody in real estate, and then 8 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when they need a real estate agent for their family or themselves, they're going to think of you if you came from that position, real estate solution for life. So those are, it's a combination of mindset and skill set.
Yeah. Sometimes it's about process though. So, you know, how have you sort of like you having a sales business, you know, an individual person comes to you within, I'm assuming there's many different fields of sales that you guys are in, insurance, you know, and real estate and many, many different parallels. What's the process that an individual agent comes to you and says, hey, I need help, or I need to be coached through this. I need to improve my business. What does the process look like that you guys go through in order to upskill them or to, you know, diagnose the issue that's there at the moment, all of those things?
Yeah, my kind of go-to is either a front of the room speech and then sell a coaching program or nowadays Zoom. So somebody meets me. I don't really look for clients. I look for salespeople that are interested in sales increasing tips.
Sure.
So I'm marketing, hey, come to my closing webinar. Come to my prospecting webinar. You know, get my free course. And so then they're opting in on my email list typically. That usually happens on the internet. They'd come to a Zoom where they see me speak and I'd make an offer. And then if they like that, then you know they could do a higher end coaching program. So that would be a typical way that we would do it.
Right. Okay. And then once they're in that coaching program, what is the structure or infrastructure that you go through to find? Like, for example, let's say that I came to you and said, Eric, I need help. I'm interested in taking on the coaching. How do you diagnose what I need help with? Or is there a set process in play?
Yeah, it's usually in one-on-one coaching, it's just having a conversation, finding out what their problem is. One of the things that Brian Tracy talks about is that entrepreneurs tend to learn one skill set at a time.
Right.
So it's like, I'm struggling with my lead gen. So they're wanting lead generation help. So we're going to look at, all right, are you generating leads on social media? Which social media are you focused on? Are you doing networking? Are you doing referrals? Are you doing open houses? You know, what is it that are you going out in the community and doing some type of a community event? So it's typically them expressing, I'm needing help with this one skill set, help on that skill set, go to the next one. And some clients I might work with over the course of a year, and we might cover many skill sets during that time.
Right. Okay. Now, I guess that from being in the field for the last 25 years, you've probably been to more conferences and seen more resources in the sales world than anybody else. So let's talk a little bit about the resources that are at everybody's fingertips right now. Like, don't get me wrong, the YouTube side of things, like you've got a YouTube channel that I've jumped on and you've got a great deal of content on there that people can break down. But who have you seen that is out there in the field, like, or that has been out there in the field that you've used as a resource in the past in order to upskill yourself?
Yeah, my main sales mentor is a gentleman named Dr. Donald Moyne, and he's not really that well known, but he's the brightest sales mind I've ever found. So right. Have you ever heard of neuro-linguistic programming?
I've heard of it. Yep. I couldn't speak to it, but I've definitely heard of it.
Okay. So NLP is the technology that Tony Robbins used to sweep the world with his message. And then he renamed it neuroassociative conditioning, which from my view is just NLP with his name, his branding on it. So NLP is the study of human excellence. So we go find a top producing real estate agent and they're great at open houses.
Right.
So I can model them. They're great at a listing presentation. They're great at networking. And so I brought up NLP because Dr. Moyne wrote the first NLP-based sales book ever called Modern Persuasion Strategies.
Right.
So he's this brilliant guy, and he's been my coach and secret weapon now since 1994, and I still work with him. So there's not a whole lot of content about him online. He wrote Unlimited Selling Power, Modern Persuasion Strategies, a couple of books that you can get on Amazon, and I published some of his content. some of it's on my YouTube channel, for example. So he's been my main mentor. Another gentleman that I've learned from is a gentleman named Jay Abraham, and he's more marketing focused. Are you familiar with Jay?
I've definitely heard of Jay's stuff, and I've definitely seen him on some social shorts and things like that.
Yeah. So I like to go after like the brightest minds that I can find. Another name, not all that well known, but he has the best mindset content out there. A guy named Steve Hardison, and his book is The Ultimate Coach. And so I've had the privilege of working one-on-one with Steve and with Jay Abraham and with Dr. Moyne. So I like to go out and find, you know, the best coaches that I can afford and work with them and learn from them. So those are three, you know, trainers that have been around for decades that I've really learned a lot from and are probably not mainstream in the real estate community that our listeners could, you know, they might really enjoy those three people.
Well, the question that sort of comes to mind is that, like, let's say that, you know, something like you probably get a great deal of people that come to you on a daily and weekly basis to say, hey, I need your help. What is the common denominator when it comes to real estate people that you've worked with in the past that they come to and they come to you? What's the most common issue that you see that someone comes to you to solve?
I think it's prospecting is one. Another one is not going after larger deals.
Oh, really?
So I'll tell you a quick story of a client of mine. She's in Texas, and I said, you know, what size deals do you go after usually? And she goes like, you know, 400 to 600, 600,000. I'm like, all right. Are there properties in your community that go for higher than that? She's like, yeah. I said, great. What's like a higher end property? 3 or 4 million. I'm like, oh, okay. Do you ever go on presentations to get those listings? Oh no. And it's like the mindset is $1 million. And that's as far as I go. And anything over $1 million is out of my comfort zone.
Right.
And I was like, well, let's just hypothetically say you got a $4 million listing. Would you have the length of the contract be the same as maybe a $600,000 property? And she's like, yeah, it'd probably be. Would the commission be the same? Yeah, commission's probably the same. Would you put the same number of open house signs up if you were doing an open house? And she's like, yeah, probably. I'm like, well, it's pretty much the same then. It's all in your head, you know? And it comes back to that position that I'm coming from. It's like, I'm uncomfortable doing deals over $1 million as an example. So that could be for, you know, anybody listening right now is just to check in with themselves. Where is their comfort zone? I was talking to a loan recruiter the other day, and she was recruiting this loan officer, and it was LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, well, do you ever prospect on Instagram? She goes, no, I'm hardly ever even on there. I said, okay, well, let's just take a look at him on LinkedIn. So we pulled him up on LinkedIn. He had some posts, and it looked like a virtual assistant did the post. The way that we could just kind of look at it, there wasn't any originality in it. There was a pattern in the posting. So then we pulled him up on Instagram. He posts once a week on LinkedIn. Instagram, he posts almost daily. He's done like 1,500 posts. Like, he's totally active. He's like on fire on Instagram, and it's crickets on LinkedIn, and she's prospecting him on LinkedIn. And I'm like, look, he probably didn't even see your message.
Yeah.
Maybe his VA did. So if you want to connect with him, Instagram's where you want to connect. And so I think there's definitely an opportunity for social media as a strategy for real estate agents, especially on Instagram, especially on Facebook. And content creation is an opportunity that most agents are probably not taking advantage of, especially if they're like, I'm in my 50s. I do a ton of content, but I'm also a trainer.
Yep.
Real estate agents like, I'm not a content creator. I don't like how I look on video. That's a position to come from. I don't like how I look on video. And it's like, when you're doing an open house, pull out your smartphone. Go live on social. It costs you nothing. You're demonstrating your expertise for your audience. When they're scrolling through, even if they don't watch your video, they're still like connecting that you're operating in your expertise. And so there's a lot of things that agents can do that are, it's just different than how they currently think.
Yep. And sometimes they need that third party to help them position in a different way to get them to understand that. But I guess that final question for the real estate space, because you've seen so much of it. Let's say that now you've already made it ultimately clear that you're probably going to die on a podcast. Okay, I've got that covered. Okay. However, let's say you did go into the real estate industry. You currently live in an individual marketplace and you're like, I'm going to start in this community. You're starting from scratch. You don't have any relationships whatsoever. What would be the first, 90 days? What would the first 90 days of your real estate career look like, Eric?
What I would do, and I created a concept. It's a multi-million dollar concept. And it is, I live in Rockland, California. Mm-hmm. It's a small town outside of Sacramento. So I would create the brand, I Love Rockland. So I would have iloverockland.com, and then I would have a podcast, but it wouldn't be a real estate podcast. It would be a podcast about Rockland. So I would go to the high school quarterback and I would interview him. And then he would take it, he would share it on his social. And then I would go to the mayor and I'd say, Mr. or Mrs. Mayor, I have the I Love Rockland podcast. Do you have a message you want to get out to the community? And they'd go, of course. Great. Would you like to be on my show? Yes. So I interview the mayor, like what you and I are doing. Mm-hmm. Once the interview is done, the mayor has the message that they want to share with the community. What are they going to do with the link to the podcast? They're going to share it. So now the mayor, I'm a brand new real estate agent. The mayor's now promoting my podcast. And I would become one of the most famous people in my community. I would write a book, 21 Things to Do in Rockland, California. I'd use ChatGPT to help me. I'd go on ChatGPT and say, give me a list of 21 things to do in Rockland. And then it would tell me, and then the first item, whatever it would be, I would say, write me three paragraphs on that particular whatever. And I would publish a book. I'd be one of the only real estate agents in the community with a published book. So I would win at the content game, and I would win with the I Love Rockland brand. And then I would prospect like crazy. Those would be the things I would do.
Yeah, definitely. Now let's talk about from a personal perspective, Eric, as we sort of round out the episode, I try to ask people, a little bit about, some of the content that they absorb, and some of the recommendations they have for podcast books. You've got some books of your own. And again, I want to talk through one, the journey of writing a book, and two, the content that's in there that might be valuable to the audience. So give us a bit of a rundown on your books.
Yeah. So my first main book is called The System. And it's a sales fundamentals book covering lead generation all the way through to the close. So it's just a really solid sales fundamentals if somebody's needing that. My second book is Sales Scripting Mastery. And that's all about for a real estate agent, the listing presentation, the buyer presentation, but it's not real estate specific. 200 plus pages written on scripting. It's one of the most comprehensive books ever written on scripting. My third main book is Continuous Sales Improvement. And it's more around the mindset of living a life of wanting to get better. And so those are the three books that I've written. And the first two are on Audible, and then all three of them are on paperback and Kindle.
Awesome. Now, what about some of the external books like that you've used over your career in order to sort of gain some momentum? What are some of the books that you would most recommend to anyone?
Yeah. So Dr. Moyne's two are Unlimited Power and Modern Persuasion Strategies. Jay Abraham wrote one. It's something like How to Get Anything You Want. I forget the exact title, but that's a really great book. So those are a couple. I really am a big Brian Tracy fan. Right. So he's got, I don't know, he probably has 50 books out there. Eat That Frog is one of the popular ones on time management.
Right.
The Time Trap by Alec McKenzie. Hardly anybody knows of that book. That's the best book I've ever found on the subject of time management, The Time Trap by Alec McKenzie.
Perfect. Now, what about, do you listen to podcasts at all? Or
a friend of mine has one of the most popular podcasts out there, Ed Milet.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. No, Ed. Yeah.
Ed's my age. I knew Ed before, I say before he was Ed Milet, I knew Ed, so he was obviously always Ed Milet, but he and I were, coming up through the ranks, and he became mega famous and mega wealthy through his business ventures. But he's done a really nice job with his podcast. He really goes the extra mile I'm really impressed with his podcast. And I like David Goggins, when he doesn't have a podcast that I'm aware of, but he's a guest on there. So, he's kind of he's the most hardcore guy out there that I know.
Yeah.
But he was recently,
I think he was recently on one that I listened to as well. It's almost to the point with David Goggins where you're sort of like, yeah, that's extreme. Like it's a little too far. What about, are you watching anything at the moment? Any Netflix series or any series in general?
I like the one, the movies where it's about, you know, a superstar. Like I watched the Arnold Schwarzenegger Netflix. Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed that. The Sly Stallone one was okay.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. I haven't built up the courage to watch that one yet. I don't think it's going to be that great.
It wasn't. I like the Schwarzenegger one. And then last night I was watching with my wife. I think it's on HBO about John McEnroe.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really interesting one about his rise up to becoming the top tennis player. And he shared on that show that Bjorn Borg retired from tennis at 26. I think it was 26. And he was on the top of his game. And I was like, man, I can't imagine if I got to the top of my game at a sport you could only play for so long, walking away. But that John McEnroe, I think it's on HBO or Hulu or one of those. So those are a couple.
Any daily routines or life hacks that you can share with the group to make the day or their life easier?
I'll give you a real simple one. It doesn't cost anything. And it really, in my opinion, it really does work. And it's mirror work. And so I turn on my Zoom, nobody's on there but me, or I'll get my smartphone out and put it in selfie mode. And it creates a mirror for me. And I do a bunch of I love yous. Eric, I love you. I love you. God loves you, Eric. Your parents love you, Eric. Your clients love you, Eric. And I will fill up my cup because in my experience, most people do not hear a sincere I love you. It's anywhere from 0 to 5 times a month. And I'm doing 50 to 20 a day. And I believe that that has a cumulative effect, especially on your confidence as you're striving for higher levels of success, to be able to fill up your own cup. And so that's a really simple thing. When I was first introduced to it, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of woo-woo. But I finally am like, let me try it out. And I really enjoyed that. That's a real simple one that maybe one of the listeners will try and they'll like it too.
Well, Eric, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on Rethink Real Estate. Thanks so much for your insights and absolutely looking forward to the team getting their hands around this episode for sure.
Thanks, Ben.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.